There have been many impacts on our life due to the global pandemic. One of those is on our streets. All over the UK, there are changes in our footpaths, cycleways, bus stops, or in social distancing, but there are still some concerns around this and the possible permanence to some of these changes. Now, today we're going to be chatting with RNIB Scotland and Guide Dogs Scotland, who have been working with Edinburgh City Council. We've got Anne-Marie Barry from Guide Dogs Scotland with us and Catriona Burness from RNIB Scotland. What are some of the issues that people have? Why are the streets becoming harder to navigate?
Well, one of the things that we're being told is that really people aren't going out as much as they used to, full stop. Spaces for People was introduced as a Scottish Government response to the pandemic, so that around the country, local authorities have taken steps to temporarily widen pavements, to set up what you could call pop-up cycle lanes, and to attempt to encourage cycling rather than use of public transport. As an organisation, RNIB Scotland developed some guidance for local authorities in May, June last year. We called it the Coronavirus Courtesy Code. We wanted people to be kind to each other, to respect each other, to give a bit of space in the circumstances that we were in, and to make recommendations to local authorities about the importance of having an area that could be safely navigated by somebody with either a guide dog or a long cane, to retain controlled crossings because that gives security in crossing, and to avoid pavement sprawl. And what we are being told is that the shape of some of the Spaces for People schemes have made it more difficult for people to get out and about, and that the unknown quantity of the schemes has reduced people's confidence in doing so, for instance, in using buses. If you have to get off the bus onto a cycle lane and cross the cycle lane to get to the pavement. Edinburgh and Aberdeen, for example, we've had significant complaints about having to step off buses into cycle lanes, you know, that's been a particular concern. Where pavements have been widened, people with sight loss have told us that they appreciate having the wider pavements in that they can continue to use the pavement, but there is space for other pavement users to get out of the way of someone conspicuously using a long cane or moving around with a guide dog.
Especially useful, I imagine, with lots of tables and chairs on the pavements as well now, with places having to perhaps serve outside. Now, we also have with us Anne-Marie Barry from Guide Dogs Scotland, and you've been dealing quite directly with the Edinburgh situation.
We have, Alan. Ourselves, RNIB Scotland, Edinburgh Access Panel have been in a long series of correspondence and meetings with Edinburgh City Council about the Spaces for People programme. As Catriona said, I think organisations like ourselves can't respond to every scheme on every street and give feedback on that. But certainly our colleagues at Edinburgh Access Panel have been able to do that. It's been a very, very time-consuming process for them. So we've been registering our disquiet, I suppose is the best word for it, with the scheme. The speed at which the scheme came in, we appreciate it was outset of the pandemic, so there was no consultation with the public and certainly no consultation with disability groups when these schemes were put on the ground. So we've tried to kind of really reinforce that with Edinburgh City Council and say that we must consult with people and there must be a full equalities impact assessment before any of these schemes are made permanent. And I suppose the concern now is that certainly two of the largest councils, Edinburgh and Glasgow, Edinburgh have consulted on retaining Spaces for People and Glasgow are consulting. So we don't want to see any of these schemes made permanent unless there's been adequate consultation with disability groups. Our other concern is that we're in an ever-changing situation with COVID, but we don't know what the future is going to be like. So for local authorities to choose to make really significant changes to the way that people travel and how they access the city, we think is probably not best done at this time. And there's no reason why we couldn't just take a little bit more time and really consider those changes in the full. And that's what we've been putting forward to Edinburgh City Council. But I was speaking to a guide dog owner here in Edinburgh, a very confident man. I think he's on his third guide dog. And Ian was saying to me that the changes have really taken away his independence and mobility. And he said before Spaces for People changes, he didn't have any problem going out and about. But now the areas he feels safe in are just getting smaller and smaller. And again, I think because this is a Scotland-wide scheme, you know, people across the country will be feeling similar things to Ian.
Katrina, what are the next steps then? So the approach and the dialogue is there so far with Edinburgh City Council. Is that being replicated across Scotland, or are there concrete next steps?
Each of our organisations has responded to the Glasgow-Edinburgh consultations. We have written, Guide Dog Scotland, RNIB Scotland, have written together with other Scottish sight loss charities to the Cabinet Secretary for Transport, Michael Matheson, pointing out some of the impacts that coronavirus has had on blind and partially sighted people, and that the impact of changes on the streets is going to increase demand for rehabilitation services as people begin to move out of lockdown and to relearn routes and features of the streets. And we have asked for an independent review of Spaces for People at a strategic level. Appreciate that there are some difficulties in that, given that local authorities have introduced measures on a street-by-street basis. But I think that in the case of Edinburgh, for example, should the council agree to making aspects of Spaces for People permanent, it would keep these measures in place for a further 18 months, and it would have the effect of meaning that the measures would have been in place for 3 years without a consultation having taken place on them. We also think there's something of a conflict of interest in having the response that Sustrans is carrying out reviews of Spaces for People, because Sustrans has been so closely involved in handling the disbursement of Spaces for People funding and advising local councils on schemes.
Alan, for us, it's not being against Spaces for People or against active travel. Our concerns are first and foremost about the safety of people with sight loss, but safety of pedestrians in particular. And I think that the government, Sustrans, all local authorities would say pedestrians are at the top of this hierarchy. But what we're perhaps seeing in some of the Spaces for People development is far greater funding going to cycle lanes than for schemes that would protect pedestrians.
More to come on this, no doubt. Follow on though to Katrina Burness and Anne-Marie Barry. Thanks to both of you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.